Well, good morning, everyone, and I bid you warmly welcome to the Lord's house this Lord's Day morning, this Sunday morning, this bank holiday Sunday weekend morning. Numbers may be away over the holiday season, but it's good to see you here, and I trust and I know we'll be blessed in our worship and our fellowship together. The minister has taken this particular Sunday as a spring holiday Sunday, and I'm pleased to welcome to our pulpit and to our congregation again this morning, and not for a first time, because he is well known to us, the Reverend Colin McFarland. And he is not Mr. Ernie Croft, obviously, as announced last week. Ernie phoned early this morning to say that he had been taken unwell over the weekend. The tummy bug, I'm afraid, has struck. But he had contacted Reverend McFarland, who was willing and available, and we appreciate greatly his coming along to minister both this morning and, God willing, again at our service this evening. So in welcoming you, I welcome him and hand over to him to lead us in our morning worship. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Rodney. It's nice to be back again here in Ballymena, the hub of the north, and to be among you and to lead your worship this morning and, God willing, this evening. The psalmist said, "O sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Sing unto the Lord and bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all the people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness and fear before him all the earth." Now let's join together in worship and praise, singing our opening hymn, 756. "When morning gilds the skies, my heart awaking cries, may Jesus Christ be praised." was really good singing. Thank you very much. Let's bow together in prayer. As together we seek the Lord's blessing on our service this morning, let us pray. God of all grace and sovereign Lord, we come before thee in the name of thy dear Son and our dear Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, dear Father, for your great love. We thank you that we read that God so loved the world, no one is left outside the scope of the love of God. There are many in this world who apparently seem unloved and uncared for. But we thank you, dear Father, this morning that we are assured from your word that you love each one of us. We thank you not only for your love, but we thank you for the sacrifice of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who in your love came to this earth, here not merely to live, but eventually to die, and in dying to take the place of each and every one who had ever sinned. And we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But we thank you for our blessed Savior, about whom we read that having loved his own, he loved them to the end. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. We thank you for these marvelous truths that are not only being able to be read in your word, but experienced in our lives whenever we put our faith and trust in the Savior. And Father, we pray that that might be the portion and the experience of each and every one here this morning, from the youngest to the oldest. May we know the living Lord Jesus as a reality in the daily round of life. May we know him not only as Savior, but prove him as friend, and that one who never leaves us nor forsakes us. We thank you, our Father, for this assembled congregation this morning. You know the various homes, Lord, that we have come from. You know the difficulties that we encounter in our homes and the problems that we face. You know, dear Lord, those perhaps who have lost employment. You know those who are wrestling with sickness. You know those who are troubled and tried by various circumstances. And Father, you who know all, we pray that in your grace you will have mercy and bring help to those in trouble and rescue those who are in need. Bring healing to those who are sick and bring restoration to those who are troubled. Our Father, we thank you for this fellowship. We thank you for its long witness in this town. We thank you, Lord, for all of those thy servants who not only have worshipped here, but who have served here. We thank you, Lord, for all that is past. And yet, Father, we would confirm our trust in you for all that is to come. And we trust our Heavenly Father that even the days that lie ahead may be greater in the life and testimony of this fellowship than ever they were in the past, glorious as they may have been. And to you, our Father, be all the praise and the honor and the glory. Bless us, Father, each one. May we leave this place rejoicing not only in the wonder of your salvation, but in the fullness and the greatness of your love. We ask these things in the worthy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen and amen. Turning for our scripture reading this morning to the first book of Samuel, chapter 17, please. 1 Samuel, chapter 17, and starting our reading at verse Mark 32. We're breaking into the story here, a well-known story of David and Goliath. And you know how that David had heard about the challenge that this giant thrust out to the armies of Israel, and how that men were afraid, and he was saying to his brothers and others, well, I'll go and fight him. And the word eventually came to the king, King Saul. And David stood before King Saul. Here's what it says in verse 32. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." And David said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by the beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." And David said, moreover, "The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he assayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, "I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them." And David put them off him. And he took a staff in his hand, and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip, and a sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. May the Lord bless this reading of his precious word to our hearts this morning. Amen. We're going to turn once again to our hymn books. It's 1087. "Lord, I come before your throne of grace. I find rest in your presence and fullness of joy." Let's rise and sing this lovely hymn.
Oh,
Well, just to repeat the warm welcome and good morning to yourselves and our welcome and our thanks to the Reverend Colin McFarlane for being present with us this morning and, God willing, again this evening to lead the worship and preach the word. At the close of our service this morning, those who know and love the Lord are invited, indeed commanded, as he has said, to observe the communion of the Lord's Supper at the close of our service this morning. And then our service again this evening at 6:30, when God willing the Reverend McFarlane will again be along to speak, and I trust that as many of us will again be out this evening to support the service. For the incoming week, God willing, you can see there on the screens, Tuesday at 8 o'clock, the midweek meeting for prayer and Bible study. Wednesday at 7 o'clock, there is a spring clean of the kitchen, ladies. So any of you, men too, if you can come along and assist, then that would be much appreciated. This is the annual clean-up and tidy-up in that kitchen area of the church. So your help and support then on Wednesday evening would be appreciated if you can come. Also on Wednesday, the young people continue to meet as they prepare and practice for our Youth Sunday services coming up the first Sunday in June. Then on Friday, those of you who attend the Women's Study Group, a meal has been organised at Millside in Clock Mills. And if you hope to go, and I trust you will be able to go, then would you please make sure you put your name on the sheet on the vestibule table this morning or this evening so that the numbers for Friday are known in advance. That's Friday out at Millside in Clock Mills. Then that would take us through to next Lord's Day, next Sunday. Sunday school and Bible class as usual at 10:15, and services at their usual times of 11:30 and 6:30. And God willing, the minister will return to lead the worship next Lord's Day. Coming up on Friday the 10th, that's this Friday the 10th through to Sunday the 12th, next Sunday, in the Marquee at Carnlee, is the North Ulster Bible Weekend, which is organised annually by the Faith Mission. So you're encouraged and invited to attend those services from Friday the 10th at 8 p.m. and then Saturday the 11th at 4:30 and 7:30 with a short sandwich tea in between those meetings. And then at 9 p.m. there will be an anchor meeting also out at Carnlee. And to bring the weekend to a conclusion on Sunday, this day next week, services at 3:15 and at 8 p.m. So I trust that if you're interested, you'll make a point of attending some or all of those special services. And on the theme of special services, could I just take the opportunity this morning, this first Sunday morning in May, as it happens to be, to lay before you a number of special services coming up here in our own congregation, in our own fellowship, over this month and into early June. Just for your information, a couple of weeks' time, will be Union Sunday, and there's always an exchange of pulpits amongst ministers in our congregational union on that particular Sunday morning. So one of the ministers from the other churches will come and minister here, and our minister will be away at his congregation. But then on that Sunday evening, 2 weeks' time, there will be the annual prize-giving and special service for the boys who are part of our Coaching for Christ Glenavon football team, and for the men and young people in the fellowship here. That's a special Sunday evening. So that's coming up in a couple of Sunday nights' time. And then going through to the 26th of the month, that is our anniversary Sunday, our annual church anniversary Sunday and gift day. It's coming up on the 26th of this month, and the evening service that week always takes the form of a tea service, and again there'll be a guest speaker along. So those two Sundays are special as we move later in this month of May. And then when we come into the first Sunday of June, you've heard me say already, that's always our Youth Sunday services, where again the young people participate morning and evening, and a guest speaker is along to speak to them. And then the second Sunday in June, we're also to have another visitor along, because G.S. Nair will be along from India. He was to be here at an earlier occasion. He wasn't able to be here at that time because of a family bereavement in India. But his rearranged visit will be coming up the second Sunday in June. And we look forward, as usual, to G.S. being with us and updating us on his work there in India. So a number of special services and visiting speakers coming along, and I'd ask you to keep them in mind, to pray for those services, to be along yourself to support them, and to invite and involve others to come along too and share with us on those particular and special occasions. That's all the announcements for this morning, and we'll worship the Lord as we now bring our offerings. Thank you. Thank you.
Let's bow in a moment of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, in bringing our gifts and offerings and tithes this morning, we acknowledge that we are the recipients of your benefits and blessings to us. And as we would offer our gifts, Father, we pray that you will accept them, not simply from our hands, but from our hearts, with all the love that we can muster. And pray, dear Lord, that you will use our gifts to the honor and glory of your holy name and the blessing of many, not only in and through this congregation, but even further afield, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing another hymn just now, and it's number 37 in your book. It'll come up on the screen. As a deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. Number 37, please. Let's bow in a moment of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we seek your face. We ask your blessing on the proclamation of your word. Lord, grant that I might be a clean vessel for your service this morning. And grant, dear Lord, that I might be used as an instrument to bring blessing to others, even as you have brought blessing to me, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I have a friend in Bangor where I live. He never forgets my birthday, always sends me a card. At Christmas time too, I'm sure to get a card from Andrew there. And inside the card, there would always be this little phrase, God bless you. I know that he means it. Means it from his heart. It's not simply words that he wants to convey, but something that he wants God to do. I've often used the phrase myself. Whenever you meet with people, at the end of your conversation, you might just say, well, God bless you. What do we mean? What do we really mean whenever we ask God to bless somebody? Do we mean that, well, Lord, I want all the good things to happen to them? Don't let them be sick. Don't let any problems come into their lives. Don't let them encounter any difficulty. Keep them in their job. Keep the family all well. God bless you. But do we ever recognize that maybe some of the seemingly bad things of life can be some of God's blessings too? We don't really think that way. We're not really programmed to think that way. No, we think that God's blessings are all nice things that happen to us. For our text this morning, five words in it, easy to remember. Verse 34 of 1 Samuel 17, part of the text, "And there came a lion." Strange sort of a text, isn't it? "And there came a lion." You wouldn't think that whenever David encountered a lion, that that was a blessing from God. And not only that, but shortly afterwards it would seem that a bear came along and he had to deal with it. Were these blessings from God? Surely they weren't good things to happen. Were these not bad things? Makes us ask sometimes, why is it that bad things happen to good people? For David was called a man after God's own heart. David knew God. Of course, God knew David. And sometimes God permits the circumstances of life to happen in such a way that they don't seem like blessings. They seem more like trials and troubles and difficulties and disasters even. And yet God means them for the best. God wants them to be blessings and not merely buffetings. The Christian, you know, has three great enemies. You're a Christian here this morning. You're not without enemies. You have three of them. They're described as the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world is the world system and attraction that so many people run after. More money, more pleasure, more time, more this, that, and the other. More, more, more. That's what the world says. And then there's the flesh. That's the me bit of things. We want things to please ourselves. And very often, that isn't what God wants. The I is a difficult thing in our lives. Not the I we see with, but the I that wants everything for ourselves. But the other enemy that we have is the devil. And the devil is real. He is a being who tempts and tries us to get us away from the Christian path, for to get us down. Now, God doesn't tempt people, but the devil does. But God can test people. And there's a difference between God testing people and the devil tempting people. The devil tempts you to make you bad. God tests you to make you good. The devil tempts you to make you bitter. God tests you to make you better, to make you stronger. Like any electrical product that we are going to purchase, we want a seal of approval on it to see that it has already been tested and tried and it's going to do the job. Well, that's what we want. And we're told that the devil, like a roaring lion, goes about seeking whom he may devour. And the devil's stalking the world and he's stalking the Christian. And there he's tempting and trying us and trying to get us off the Christian pathway. And whenever we go down, whenever something happens in our lives, we feel we've let the Lord down, and the devil will play on that and get us into a state of depression and doubt. Well, David was confronted by a lion, as he was to tell King Saul. He was giving his CV to King Saul. You know what that is? You get nowhere without your CV, young people today. All the accreditation that you have, there it is on your CV. And you present it to your prospective employer or whoever may be interviewing you. And David was giving his CV to King Saul. Now, the problem was a difficult one. The army of Israel had been faced with a giant, and nobody wanted the job to go up against him. And David wanted a job that nobody else wanted. Well, it seems that that's the opposite to the way things are today. If somebody applies for a job, there's 1,000 other people in for it. But David wanted a job that nobody else wanted. And Saul was reluctant to give it to him. And he looks at this young fella standing in front of him, just maybe in his teens or late teens or something like that. Not awfully tall, of a fresh complexion, not a hardened soldier by any means. And David's giving a CV, and he says, "Sir, I know you say that I'm young and all that and inexperienced, and this giant has been a man of war, but look, one day I was minding my father's sheep, and there came a lion. Now, the natural thing to do would be to run away, wouldn't it? Have you ever been chased by a lion? I was chased by a lion once. It wasn't in darkest Africa. It was in Ben Varden, the time the safari park was up there in the north. Was I thankful I was in the car at the time? Of course it was. But have you ever been chased by a lion? No, you don't encounter too many lions of a natural lion in this country. But you do encounter the devil. Of course you do. David said, and there came a lion, a real lion. And he took a lamb out of the flock. And what David didn't say was, "Oh, well, we can afford one. What does it matter? It's only a lamb." The farmers in our country have lost plenty of sheep and lambs during that cold, snowy spell that we had. What does that matter? To them, it matters a lot. And to David, it mattered a lot, even one little lamb. He was responsible for the flock, including that lamb. So he went out after the lion. When it rose up against him, he killed it. And so David unfolds his CV to Saul and says, and there came a bear. And he did the same thing, and I went after him, and I killed a bear. And so Saul looks at the young fella and he says, well, he's killed a lion and a bear, so might as well let him go. And out David went after the giant. Not before Saul, of course, tried to equip him with suitable armor, as he thought. But David wasn't going to go out with those. He was going out in the name of the Lord his God. And he was going with weapons that he was familiar with. The sling, the stone, and the staff. Those were his weapons. You know, whenever we encounter that other lion, the devil, we need to face him with weapons that we're familiar with. It's not the sling and the stone and the staff. The weapon of prayer. I remember once when I was a pastor in our Coleraine church and traveling to the hospital in Ballymoney one night, one January night. The road was really icy. And going down the hill, just approaching Ballymoney from Coleraine, my car spun in the road and hit the other side of the road. And just in seconds, and all I could do was pray, "Lord, help me, help me." You know, it's not the length of your prayer that matters, it's the depth of it. There are three short prayers in the Bible. Remember that time whenever Peter was walking on the water towards Jesus, and he looked down, and suppose a thought came into his mind, "You can't do this, you know." And the waves seemed to be quite choppy, you know, and beginning to sink. He didn't wait, you know, till he was gone down for the third time. Beginning to sink, he cried. What could you cry in a short time like that going down into the waves? "Lord, save me." And the Lord, we are told, reached out his hand and lifted him up. Oh, that's all you need to pray, "Lord, save me." Many one has prayed that prayer and the Lord lifted them up and changed them. And then, of course, there was that other occasion. Remember the Syrophoenician woman, as we call her? She came to Jesus. And she had a little daughter who was sick. And she pleaded with the master, and it seemed that he wanted to ignore her for a while. Maybe he was testing her. Was she really in earnest? Did she believe that he could do it? And finally she said, "Lord, help me." That was it. And the Lord said, "Go your way, your daughter liveth." And she believed his word, and she went, and she found that her wee daughter was better again. That was a short prayer, wasn't it? And remember the dying thief on the cross? And he prayed, "Lord, remember me." The Lord said, "Today, you're going to be with me in paradise." As I say, it's not the length of your prayers, it's the depth of them. It's whether you mean it or not. And so David was going with the weapon of prayer, confident that he had committed this to God. He was going in the strength of the Lord, not merely in his own physical ability, but also he was depending on the word of God as well. Isn't that what the Lord Jesus did himself when he was tempted by that lion, the devil? The devil said, "You could make bread of these stones. You're hungry. You've fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. You know, go ahead." Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of the Lord. In times of our difficulty, we need to use familiar weapons. Do you know what it is to pray? So many Christians, sad to say, can go through the whole of their Christian experience without attending a prayer meeting. That's sad. Form the habit of daily prayer. The Lord Jesus taught his disciples to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." Not something you pray every day. And of course, rely on the word of God. David relied on the word and reflected on the word of the Lord from the past. You see, he says, "The Lord delivered me," past tense, "from out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear." Let me ask you a question here. Why did he say, "out of the paw of the lion"? If you met a lion, what would you be afraid of? its jaws, wouldn't you? You'd be afraid of its jaws. Those big teeth. I remember many years ago, I was in primary school at the time, as you may guess it is many years ago, and I remember one of my friends in the class bringing in a tooth. It was about this size, you know. He says, "My uncle gave me that. That's a lion's tooth." It was huge. It wasn't even one of the fangs, one of the other teeth beside it. It was huge. And we look at a lion and we hear the roar and we see the mouth opening, and that terrorizes it. Have you ever watched on television the lions hunting their prey? How do they bring them down? Not with their jaws, but with their paws. And then afterwards, the jaws. And David was right when he said, "The Lord delivered me out of the paw of the lion." And when the Lord saved him out of the paw, he was saved out of the jaw as well. The first touch of the lion, as it were, it didn't even reach him. The Lord saved him. And it was the same with the bear as well. The Lord delivered him out of the paw of the bear. And those big grizzlies in Canada and in the USA, they're huge. And they have long claws there. Their arms are mighty. They strike with tremendous force. And David said, "The Lord delivered me." Oh, we've got a great God. And he relied on the Lord in relation to the past. He reflected on that. But David's confidence was in the Lord in the present, because he said to Saul, "And he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." What tremendous confidence he had, and faith in God, in his God. There's a little hymn that says, "Each victory will help you some other to win." Was the lion and the bear a blessing from God? Did God bless him by sending a lion and a bear along? Yes. I think on reflection, David would say yes. Those were preparation days for something bigger and greater that lay ahead. He was to face a giant. Over all the years of my life, I have faced lions and bears in a spiritual sense, not the physical. But you know, at this particular time, I'm wrestling with a giant. But the Lord has assured me that he's there, he'll be with me. In thinking about this particular problem that I have, and I've never faced anything greater in my life. In thinking about this, I was reading through Psalm 37 and I came to verse 5 and it says, "Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him and he will bring it to pass." You know what that word "commit" means? It means hand it all over. Hand the problem, hand the difficulty, hand the giant over to the Lord. And trust in him. You see, whenever we pray, there's two sides to prayer. You know that. Prayer isn't only telling God. That's the first part. God already knows before we ever tell him. But we unburden ourselves and we tell God. Do you know what the second part is? You have to trust God. Whatever the answer will be, you have to trust God, not only with it and for it, but in it and through it. It's just as entire as that. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. So David said, "I'm trusting God in the present. He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And he had faith for the future as well, because he said, "He will deliver me. No doubt about it whatsoever." his confidence born out of experience. He had proved God in the past, and he knew he could prove God in the future. David still had to go out and face the giant. To misquote a well-known phrase, he hadn't gone away, you know. The giant was still out there. And while David had met the lion and the bear in the past, he was a giant. And he hadn't gone away. But he faced them with those familiar weapons, the staff and the sling and the stones. And he said, "This day the Lord will deliver thee into my hand." How confident, how sure he was of success with God. Do we know the promises of God like that? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Do we know that our blessed Lord has said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you"? Do we know that he has said, "My grace is sufficient for thee"? You know, the Apostle Paul tells about having a thorn in his flesh. He didn't think it was a blessing from God. He thought it was holding him back from the work of God. And he did a wise thing. He prayed about it. But then he had to trust God with and for the answer. And God said, "No, I'm not taking it away." Isn't that what we pray for? "Lord, I'm sick, make me better. I have a problem, make it disappear." God said to Paul, "It'll stay. It's there to keep you humble. It's there to help you from rising above your situation and circumstances. It's there to draw you closer to me and to help you trust me all the more." Have you realized that maybe sometimes the sicknesses that we encounter and the problems that we have are God's blessings in disguise? God is blessing us and trying us and testing us so that as we face something bigger, that we'll have confidence and trust in him. And David was willing to give God all the glory. He says that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. You know, the world is looking on at we who are Christians. And whenever we have problems and if we go to pieces, they're saying, "They're no different from anybody else. They're no better than anybody else." But if we have our faith and trust in God and we face the lions and the bears and the giants with confidence and trust in God, they can say, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped them." And it's a testimony, not merely to our faith, but it's a testimony to our God. And isn't that what we want? And there came a lion. Who knows, my dear friends, what lions or bears or giants that you and I have to face in the days and weeks or years that may and the will of God lie ahead of us. Have you got that confidence that you can trust God in everything and with everything and for everything and through everything? Oh, I trust that you have. As a pastor, I know that my responsibility is to preach the word of God faithfully. But for each of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ, our responsibility is to live for him faithfully. May God help us to do it, no matter what we meet in life. And God bless you. And you know, on the back of this, I have written something you won't see from there. And he will if you let him. Friend of mine used to greet me, you know, when he was leaving after a conversation, "God bless you." And then he would add, "And he will if you let him." Don't stop God from blessing you. Just let him. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your word. We thank you for the experiences that your servant was permitted to go through. Not only that he could prove God for himself, but he became a blessing to his nation. And who knows, Father, if we are faithful to you, whom we might help and who we might be a blessing to. And even as God blesses us, we ask, Father, that you will help us to be a blessing to others too. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hymn 258 is our concluding hymn for this part of our service. I am trusting thee, Lord Jesus, trusting only thee, trusting thee for full salvation, great and free. 258. Our Father, may that be our confident assurance in this thy house this morning, that each of us is trusting thee. We pray, Lord, for those who must leave at this time, thy blessing. May grace, mercy, and peace be their abundant and abiding portion, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.